Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Yes, I love that gospel passage, especially for us. You know, people say, well, you know, maybe the fair is not the place to bring orthodoxy to the people. And you see where the Lord brought salvation to the tax collectors and to the sinners. And if I knew where they were having the convention of tax collectors and sinners, we'd be there also. Okay, and that's our whole purpose in being a church, is to preach the gospel, to bring the good news to a country that is so desperate. You know, we see people with, and to be open to everybody. Okay, you know, whether, no matter how they're dressed or how they look, whether they got tattoos and spiked hair and all that, that's only a cry for what? Despair, of need, and we're there to fill that. And God has been good to us, because Carlene and I bring you glad tidings from Pittsburgh, of all places. Huh? Our prayers have been answered. If you didn't know before, you know now from the first litany that the Holy Spirit worked His will at the All-American Council. And let me share with you the love that God showed to us at the All-American Council. Carlene and I did not discuss the various potential candidates before leaving for Pittsburgh. I didn't want him to have an influencer. He was our delegate, as I was our delegate, each to make their own decision as the Spirit moved them. But I left with it in my heart that I would vote for Archbishop Jonah of Chicago, since he was the one who for several years had pressed the Holy Synod to investigate the claims that had been made by the proto-deacon who had been the treasurer, saying they were stealing money in Syosset. And Archbishop Joe pushed that hard for many years at great personal cost. The Synod didn't want to hear that. But he pushed them to investigate these allegations of misfeasance and malfeasance at the national headquarters. But equally important in my thought of picking voting for Archbishop Job was the fact that he was had on numerous occasions indicated that he wanted to retire. So I figured he'd be good for one or two councils, you know, 3 or 6 years, and then maybe the gene pool would get better. Okay, to pick from. As soon as I arrived at the hotel, I ran into Bishop Jonah, who you know had been ordained only 9 days earlier, on November the 1st. And as soon as I arrived, he and I were talking because I had come to know him, I told you, back in last January in Nevada. And so we were talking about the parish here, and then some matters that dealt with the Diocese of the South, and some things he wanted from me on legal matters, not dealing with the parish or anything, but with the diocese. And he also made a date for him to celebrate liturgy with us on December the 13th, a Saturday, which obviously is not going to occur. And I thought about it more and prayed about it more, and by that night I decided I would vote for Bishop Jonah because I was convinced he was the best candidate. The Spirit had put in my heart that I could see the love that He has for the people. And you know that I tell you constantly, for clerics, the only requirement is the love of God's people. After that, you can learn everything. You can do anything. You know the story I always tell you about when I taught at the deacon school, and I was the first professor they had on the first day of the first year of the first hour. And my first line was, if you don't love God's people, take up golf. You'll be happier and so will the people. Okay? The whole failure in the church came. Because the love of crowns and of fancy vestments and all that stuff took the place of a love for God's people. So I had made that decision. And I thought about it some more, and that's what I was going to do. Okay. The next day, I was talking to Carlene, and she was having the same feelings. And then I had asked her only recently, I called her on the phone while I was preparing this. I said, hey, by the way, who were you going to vote for before you changed your mind? She said, Archbishop Job. For about the same reasons I've said, right? And that night, there was a That next night was a late night session scheduled for the synod to address questions that had been previously submitted by the delegates. And I think, to be truthful with you, the synod had been dodging those questions. And the people were pressing them hard for answers. I wasn't feeling well. I went up there and I think me and that cold weather doesn't agree at all. So I went to bed early, and also, to be frank with you, I did not want to hear what I knew would be some anger and despair by many of the delegates. Let me tell you something. We've been spared a lot of this because of Vladika. Our archbishop is a loving, caring archbishop, and so we haven't suffered like they have up north. When we sat at the table to vote, one of the priest that was there with his matryoshka was from New York. And they described to us a visit by their archbishop, Herman. He would arrive with an entourage, he would celebrate liturgy, then he and the entourage would sit together and eat the meal, and then the entourage and he would leave. They're very little input, things in that. So be thankful that we have Archbishop Dimitri. I'm sharing with you these things, not to pick on the bishops, but to let you know. We were in big trouble, you know that. Many of you were anguished by this. Those of us that were converts, I mean, we couldn't help but think sometimes, did we come to the church, to the right Orthodox Church with all of this going on? Okay? The next morning after liturgy, we had liturgy, and Bishop Jonah gave the sermon. He was magnificent. And after that, the liturgy was going to be the vote. And the room was abuzz about one thing, and that was the session the night before with Archbishop Jonah. He's the one the synod sent to answer all these questions that people had. And they said he was magnificent. He had been honest and loving in admitting that in the past, two metropolitans had been failures in their leadership and a disaster for the church. He said that being a bishop was about honesty and love and not about power and intimidation. They said, and you can play all of these talks. All you need to do is go to Ancient Faith Radio. Either Google Ancient Faith Radio or you just go to ancientfaith.com. It isn't Ancient Faith Radio. It's ancientfaith.com. Or you can Google Ancient Faith Radio. All the sessions, all the talks, all the sermons, they're all online. You can play them either streaming audio over your computer or download them to your iPod. So that's all the room was talking about. So during his presentation, they said he had two standing ovations. And on the first ballot, now you write one name. And if anybody gets two-thirds, that person is sent to the Synod of Bishops for their approval. If they approve, he becomes the Metropolitan. If they don't approve, they have to say why. In the first go-around, Bishop Jonah got the most votes, but not two-thirds. When they announced his vote tally and that he was the number one vote recipient, there was an audible gasp in the room. You could feel the Holy Spirit. Am I right? It was powerful. You could feel it. God was in the room and had set his hand. You know, one of the priests that was interviewed said that, you know, maybe the church was like a child learning to ride a bicycle. And you have to let them go, and they're wobbling, and finally, when they're about to fall over, the parent puts the hand back on the bicycle and steadies it again. And we could feel the hand of God steadying that church of His. And it was just an electric presence. Now, on the second and last ballot, you write two names. No more than two, no less than two. And the two top vote getters go to the Holy Synod of Bishops for their selection.
And you wait quite a while for this, okay? Because they hand count and so on. It isn't like we have hanging chads or we have, you know, electronic voting and all that. They have boxes with ballots, okay? And they go in this room and they count the ballots. And all the tabulations done by hand, and there were over 650 votes to count. During the long waiting wait, we had prayers. We sung prayers to the North American saints, to the Theotokos, and to the Holy Spirit over and over again. And I couldn't help but think, was this going to be a thwarting of the Spirit again? The last two times we had a vote for a metropolitan, the runner-up was selected by the synod, not the number one vote-getter. The first time it was Archbishop Dimitri had the most votes. The synod selected Metropolitan Theodosius, who likewise was forced to resign. The second time it was Archbishop Seraphim of Canada, who, like Archbishop Dimitri, was a convert. And that time they selected Metropolitan Herman. This time, we had the convert, Bishop Jonah. And so I was wondering, is this going to happen again? And you waiting and waiting and praying. And finally, when they had that, there was a stage with all curtains across it. And when they took them all down, there was the chapel behind it that had been set up in this ballroom. And so all of a sudden, all those curtains start coming down. The decision's been made by the synod. And then out they come in their mantillas, their long flowing robes that the bishops wear. And you wait to see who isn't there, because that's the one selected. And when they finally all came out, it was obvious the youngest wasn't there. And the room was just dead silent. And then Archbishop Dimitri began to read the announcement. And as soon as he finished and intoned Axios, the people were screaming Axios. That's the one thing you don't get on ancient faith. They cut off the ovations, okay? They don't go on forever and ever like they were. And I was up front, because as soon as they start taking it down, I realized, okay, this is it. So I moved real close up front to take some pictures. And I'll tell you, there were tears and stunned silence that read that greeting of the proclamation. I don't think there was a dry eye in there. Because it was obvious to everybody, the Holy Spirit had worked His will. He had softened the hearts of the delegates of the synod so that we could all hear the urging of the Holy Spirit. And we had a metropolitan to lead us into a new era. The next two senior hierarchs then escorted the new metropolitan into the assembly, and he was invested with the emoluments of office. I was up front taking pictures, and I could look him in the face. And I would tell you, he had the proverbial deer in the headlights look. A look of stark terror and, God, what have you done? Which I thought was wonderful. It wasn't a sense of pride, look what I've got, I've got the plum. But instead, a fearful undertaking of an awesome office. By the time he began giving his blessing individually to the delegates, it was the old Bishop Jonah, smiling constantly with a word to each as they pressed around him. You know, we were all up there, and I'd be crushed by these people, right? And one priest said, he's talking to each of them. He should just give them a blessing. And I looked at him and said, get used to it. This is who he is. Okay? We're not being I thought, we're not being greeted by the Pope. We're being greeted by the ultimate, first of the shepherds. It'll go down as one of the most memorable days of my life. I mean, the day I was wed, the birth of my daughter. I remember, I closed my eyes and I remember the takeoff of the airplane from Vietnam, knowing he had lived through it all and was coming home. It ranks right in there to be present. At the banquet that night, he spoke last and of his vision for the church, the mending of fences with the other Orthodox churches, an increased charitable presence in America of the OCA. He asked, where are the Orthodox hospitals, the Orthodox schools? A church where all who seek refuge from the spiritual perils of the world will find solace and comfort and acceptance. And one of the things that I remember most and enjoyed the most was he stood at the lectern and he was talking about bishops and he went, and the buck stops here. Accountability. Because that's what all of this scandal has been about. Dishonesty, lack of accountability, lack of transparency. You play the report of the finance committee this year. People going crazy there because it was transparent. Everything was there. Honest, forthright, saying here's what we have, here's what we spend, here's what things cost, here's where the money went. No smoke, no mirrors, but truthfulness and honesty. When he finished that talk at the dinner, the applause started, shouts, whistling, screaming, yelling. Okay, all we needed was the smoke machine and the strobe lights. He was like a rock star. It went on for 5-10 minutes. And he's up there going, smile, it's enough, they don't want to hear this. Okay, they're so overjoyed at the working of the Spirit and the absolute belief that the church is going now in the right direction. Milos, who is our treasurer, happened to be sitting next to me at the dinner. He said, Milos, you ever remember anything like this? He said, never. Never has it been like this. By the way, Bishop Dimitri was wonderful. He gave a little talk at the beginning of the dinner, and he said to the people, I want you to know I am pleasantly annoyed. He said, you know, I only brought him up here to show him off. Hey, you guys took him from me. And he said, however, that he rejoiced because he was confident that we had a metropolitan that would lead us out of the darkness and into the light of the new era to be the true Orthodox Church. So people left on high spirits. I was on a bus, and I was in civilian clothes. I didn't say anything. There were a lot of priests on this. We were going to the airport. And there was an Eskimo priest. He just couldn't stop grinning. And so happy. And I could hear them all talk. They were rejuvenated. All of the priests, rejuvenated. Because confident, this is the metropolitan that will set the tone. You know, it's not easy being a metropolitan because you don't have any authority. First among equals. You got to cajole, goad. It's like herding cats. Okay, you know, imagine you got all these bishops and you got to get them to go in the right direction, in the same direction. And each one is supreme in his diocese. Okay? And each one thinks, you know, he probably thinks he knows best. So he's got a great task ahead of him. Keep him in your prayers. But think about it. Who could have believed that a bishop, a monk, who only 11 days earlier had been consecrated a bishop, would be chosen to lead the entire church. It's not just that he was picked and he, you know, short time. It's that he has the abilities. Okay? He has the love of God's people. That's number one. Very intelligent. Did all his work for a PhD. I don't think he's finished it, though, for the PhD. He worked a while after he graduated from college and for his father, I think, in real estate. He worked for the Moscow Patriarchate in Russia for a while. And then when he thought monasticism might be his calling, where did he go to learn monasticism? Valam. That's the monastery from which Herman of Alaska, Yakov, and the rest of them walked across Russia and Siberia to cross the Bering Sea to come to the Aleutian Islands. and from there to all of Alaska and America. He's a convert, raised an Episcopalian, and converted at the age of 18. So the church is in good hands. It's been a hard time. And I know for some of you, it's been a terrible, terrible spiritual and emotional drain. But remember, it's God's church. Man has tried to destroy it from within for 2,000 years, and he hasn't done it yet. Okay? We have to be faithful in the battle. God gives the victory at his time and in his way. Okay? Maybe this stuff had to arise so that we could get rid of all of the others who are in the way, so that the church can now go in the direction that it needs to. God's once again shown his love for his children and for his church, and he'll never leave us orphans. God grant Metropolitan Jonah many years. At the end of the liturgy, just before I would bless you with the hand cross, we'll have a kneeling prayer and thanksgiving to the Holy Spirit for having been so wonderful to the church. So please, I ask you, rejoice. Go online, listen to some of these talks, and just be thankful for what God has done for us. The OCA now is poised, you know, to really be what we were supposed to be in 1970. The Moscow Patriarch knew what he was doing when he gave us autocephaly, cephalous status. You know, we're the ones like, you know, you guys, I guess you're like kids, you know, maybe we're like teenagers. And hopefully now we've passed that growing up stage, and now we can go out into America and be that Orthodox church that we were intended to be. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.